Supposed to hand me the paper. Okay.
We'll figure it out.
All right. We introduce our February 2023 needle mover. Jennifer Nemeth is a dedicated teacher that we are grateful to have at CIS. Each school year, she develops lessons that engage, involve critiquings, and help students to grow in scientific learning. She volunteers for Girls on the Run, has coached, and collaborates with the STEM teachers in many districts. Her classroom focuses on student growth and self-discovery. Mrs. Nemeth is a leader in school. She takes time to implement new teaching strategies and shares them with her staff. Her drive for self-improvement transfers our students and our staff. So I'd really like to congratulate, and we do appreciate Jennifer Nemeth and what a great job she has done for our school district kids. I'd like to award her the February Student of the Month.
Student of the month?
Oh. Needle mover.
Oh, you look so young, Mrs. Nemeth. Woo! All right. I'd go with the student of the month. Don't get mad in that picture.
Among other things, my fifth grade science teacher. Congratulations. Okay. Up next, we will move into the consider of approval of donations. We have two, Wayne County Community Foundation, valued at $400 to Hazel Harvey. The second, from the PTO, $150 of Chelsea stickers to the district. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Fenn. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by DeAngelis. Are there any questions, comments, or discussion?
I have a question. How did we get money from Wayne County Community Foundation? Somebody fill out an application, a request, something?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, it was teachers.
And the money's funneled through
yes.
the Wayne County? Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
So it's through the retired teachers.
Ah, thank you.
And it was given for outdoor bird feed and...
Yeah, the Wildlife Observation Thank Project you. By Heidi Brudigan.
Oh, all right. Thank you so much.
Are there any other questions or comments? Hearing none.
Ben?
Yes.
DeAngelis?
Yes.
Hershberger?
Yep.
Shafrath?
Yeah.
Gullub?
Yes, motion carries. I am being told there is no one signed up for public participation. So if not, we will move into the treasurer's update and agenda items. Mr. Hammond.
Thank you. Just a couple things this evening. Number one, Saturday, I met with my finance committee for this coming year, made up of the two gentlemen on my left, Jay Hershberger and Kath. Part of what that committee does is to go over the financial report itself to some level of depth to just make sure as a board you've got representation that understands what is being presented in that financial report and how to review it and kind of look at it critically. One of my action items tonight is a change in our banking relationship using PNC Bank for several years. Month and a half ago, there was notification that Billstown branch was closing its doors as of this coming Friday the 17th. I've been doing some due diligence and looking at other bank relationships, and I'm kind of down to two of them and probably looking at a combination of those two going forward. So in that motion tonight, you're seeing listed Huntington Bank, and through the coming year, I probably will integrate those two together to give us a much better finance facility. And my last comment is to do with the financial report itself. This is the month we got our third quarter school district income tax payment this month, and that is line financial report on page 2. And if you'll notice, year to date over last year, we're up $203,000. Other than that, those are the main things. The rest of it is pretty much in line. With that, I'd like to move to the action items, unless there's some questions.
I hear no. First item, upon consideration to approve the January 2023 unaudited financial report, is there a...
So moved.
Motion by Fenn, is there a second?
Yeah.
Second by Shafrath. Are there any questions, comments, or discussion? Hearing none.
Fenn?
Yes.
Shafrath?
Yeah.
DeAngelis?
Yes.
Hershberger?
Yep.
Gullub?
Yes, motion carries. Up next, upon consideration to approve a change in banking relations for the district from PNC to U.S. Bank, Huntington National Bank, due to the closure of the Doylestown PNC branch office. Is there a motion? Motion by Fenn. Is there a second?
Yeah.
Second by Shafrath. Are there any questions, comments, or discussion?
I have a discussion. Is that the only Huntington Bank that I personally know of is in Wadsworth? I know there's others, but I think that's the closest. I know. Now, for U.S. Bank, I'm being nosy about this because I know that folks in the school district have to make deposits. So when you said you might have a combination of two, is this something that to make deposits could go to U.S. Bank and other finances go through Huntington? Because I know it would be unique to have people traveling a lot to make deposits if that's still going on.
So... Right now, my plan is to minimize the travel. Obviously, U.S. Bank is very close at hand. which is a strong attraction. To answer the day-to-day deposit stuff, yes, but I'm continuing to explore other routes along that line as to how we put money into the accounts. Currently, our payroll runs through Huntington Bank. Does that give you the... Thank you.
Any further questions or discussion? Hearing none.
Van?
Yes.
Yeah. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Hershberger?
Yep.
Golub?
Yes. Motion carries. Up next, we will move to superintendent's update. Mr. Osborne?
Yeah. It's part of your packet, Exhibit A. What you're looking at there is the what will be the new thermostat that will be in the classrooms at CIS. So by determining that our motors and our control system did not talk to each other and we were burning up motors, we passed trainers cut lace motors, and now we're at the point now where we're over spring break, the thermostats, the control system will go in on that. So you can see on that thermostat that you'll be able to see, they can see the CO2 levels, barometric pressure, so if our science teacher is teaching weather, the barometric pressure will be on there. Relative humidity, carbon monoxide, and obviously the temperature will be on that. So it's a pretty unique device that's going to be on the wall. Teachers will have control of the temperature. We'll set it. Nothing's been determined, but let's say we decide that the setting rate is 70. They'll turn it down to 68 or up to 72, depending on their like. So we haven't got to those settings yet. But we're expecting that control system to be up and running after spring break and everything ready to go. Out one item. One of the items I'm going to get to you, and we're working on getting a quote and finalizing, it's called a COM. This is a basic cable that runs from each individual unit throughout the school and back to a JACE, which is for a server. It's designed for running the building from automation. So currently, if Brad was out at the stadium and got a call that says, hey, the gym's getting really hot in here, he could jump on his computer, bring it up, and say, oh, my God, we don't have a vent open. We don't have this. The air is not recirculating. He can command it from his computer, open it there, and make sure it's there. If there's a problem, he would be notified on his computer through his email and on that, and he could up and go from there. So that was not included in our regular price. Right now, Train has come through, and they gave me a quote about $17,000, but they're coming back out in 2 weeks to take and give me a hard quote as to what it will actually be. But they said it's going to be right there in that range that will allow us units, and they can not only do a visual check, but he can also do it automated from wherever he has a connection to. It's a setup that this current building has, a 712 building. So then we'd have two buildings that realistically that could be run directly from our maintenance director's computer. Our principal could run it. Sean could run it. We can give certain people access, and we can unlock doors, run the HVAC, that type of piece. So it's much better to do a ceiling. Mm-hmm. They have to touch every unit to take the old control system off that's breaking down to put the new control system in and new motors in some spots. So while they're there, we might as well run the wire instead of closing it all up, then having to pay to put it all back in. So that'll be coming. I expect that to have it for the next month and be ready to go with that piece. The second thing I have tonight, I'd like to introduce Sean. Is our phone working? Okay. Introduce Mr. Rodriguez. He's going to give us an update, and I have for here some bar graphs that he's going to discuss regarding our secondary math program.
Thank you. Basically, about, I think it was 6, maybe 7 years ago, the 6 through 12 went to CPM math. Mr. Osborne just asked me to kind of go over how that is progressing, and I've put together a bit of two graphs that I'll get into. But basically, we needed some different math. At the time, was very old, and we wanted to look and get a project-based math. So myself, along with multiple people, multiple staff members, went, researched. We looked at the highest scores across the state. We went and visited those schools, the curriculum, and CPM math was what a lot of them used. And as we went, we were really impressed with the project-based learning. It's a lot of discovery learning. It takes away a lot of the rote memory that we were used to. And at first, I'll be honest, it was a huge adjustment. It was a huge adjustment for our students. It was a huge adjustment for our parents because the belief was we weren't teaching. And as we had some different nights, had parents in at conferences, those types of things, they started to see that it wasn't we weren't teaching. It was there was the madness behind. We wanted students to work through and learn how to problem solve and not just be given the right answer or the right to work it out, but one, figure it out. Two, there may be more methods than just one. And if they didn't get it right, to work through that piece and which parts weren't right, or was it right time, or was the method only working during certain times? And so as we moved into this building, we have around all of our math rooms, and so our kids are constantly up, problem solving, working through, correcting each other, the problems, and it's just been a phenomenal growth from not only math and the scores, but also just our students being able to figure out and problem solve in other subjects, not just waiting for the answer, but trying to discover it. Are there different ways? And it's just been a huge advantage for us, and our teachers have seen growth in those areas outside of the math world, which to us, we want to instruct problem-solving students, not just somebody who can memorize facts and spit it out, or memorize a process and do it. And when, you know, it was funny when we first went to this, we noticed that students changed the way the math problem looked, would struggle with it. And that was a huge red flag for us. And now we're seeing trip our kids up. So CPM has been really, really good for us. A couple other things that we've added, and then I'll go into those charts. 2 years ago, Mr. Robeson here at the high school, we joined a pilot, which is quantitative reasoning. And it was OD's big push, the Ohio Department of Ed, to run parallel with Algebra 2. They were getting a lot of information from colleges. Colleges wanted problem-solving students. And so this math, which substitute for Algebra 2, is all problem-solving. It's group work. It's literally real life. The other day I went in, and they were talking about an accident where a car hit a bike rider, had to go through the mark that was left on the tire and every piece and part that would play into that, how all the pieces of what did the bike, what ended up with the bike, what ended up with the person. And it was awesome because kids were asking questions that 5 years ago, I don't think they would have asked. They would have been like, well, was it raining? Where they were like, all right, were the roads wet? How fast was the car going? How hard did they push the brake? All of these things, and then working through to figure out the length of that tire mark, how fast was that car? And it took probably 3 days, which was awesome because that's the other piece is we're allowed time to figure things out, not just trying to get on a timeline and jam it down their throat as fast as we can so that we get from page one to page 500. We also have looked at when in grade we give a math placement test. With those results along with state tests, and we use about 4 that we collect, our students can advance 2 years or 1 year. And basically, so as a seventh grader, they can come in and take seventh grade math, they can take pre-algebra, which is eighth grade, and then there's a small group that actually takes algebra. And we advance them in the sciences as well. This has been really, really key because if you look at the graph, our students are really excelling on the state test, which I know is not the end all. There is a huge part of me that loves that part of it, the competitiveness of that. It's also allowed our highest students to explore into not only AP calculus, now for the first year, and this is the first group that we accelerated, We actually have AP Calculus BC, which is a second year of calculus. So it's allowed a lot of our students who want to go into that higher level math and engineering and those things to take those classes without other courses. So as we play that out, we'll see. We have seen some gaps that are missed in the science world, which at the end of last year we looked. So we've slowed down that progression a little bit in certain areas because we actually looked at some of the students as they skipped different sciences when they got into the higher level, chemistry and physics, they were missing a little bit. So we've kind of revamped our sciences and some of our math. I won't go into that detail. So look at the first chart. It gives you, and we were able to use the Frontline Analytics to get this and pull this pretty quickly. It gives you the scores of the state tests in 21 and 22. And it's interesting because this was during the pandemic, and this was when they were supposed to drop. And if you look at our math scores, every one of them went up from 21 to 22. And I often get questioned, math, obviously it's very low. How that works out is we had about 20% of our students who didn't qualify to bump up. So they took the seventh grade test, and they took the seventh grade math. And we were moving the students fairly well. Obviously, we don't like that our numbers weren't at the expectation that we have. But as you see, the adjustment that we made the second year has gone up, and I do anticipate it going up again. If you flip two pages, there is a value-added chart there. And the last page actually has the a key to it. If you look at our math, in seventh grade it's green, in eighth grade it's dark blue, in algebra down at the bottom it's dark blue, and geometry it's dark blue. How that reads is, so every student comes in, and the state that calculates if a student grew a year. So where it's green, those students grew a full year, which the expectation by the state, our expectation is we would like them to grow above a year. So even in that seventh grade that we didn't hit the target on the state achievement, all those students as a whole grew a year, which is fantastic. And then you go to eighth grade, to algebra, geometry, even our younger students, that's two standards above a year, which is phenomenal growth. So obviously with the CPM, the quantitative reasoning and the different math classes that we're doing, we're on the right path, and we continue to look every year in the spring and summer and readjust. But I will tell you, you know, the curriculum is not important because it is, but the single most important thing is our staff and the teaching. And that just shows you the instruction in our entire district is just phenomenal. During those times where kids were out, you know, there was a certain period of time where kids were learning at home, and that our students, staff, parents, were still able to achieve that type of growth is just fantastic. So I'd like to give kudos to all of our entire community because they do a phenomenal job. But that is kind of an overview of our math program 6 through 12.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez.
Yep, thank you. Right. We will move into the superintendent's agenda. Mr. Osborne.
Okay. I have two items here that I'm asking for approval on. One is the unpaid leave for Jenna Behrens to extend her maternity leave April 12th and 13th. I put dates down there because babies happen when babies want to happen. So right now on her due date being the date, and she wants it extended one extra week. That will give her 3 months under the age of four, or under the age of five. I've lost track now. But that's going to be a handful at one time. So she's asking for an extra week. So once we have those definitive dates, I'm also then going to come back and want to extend the substitute guidance counselor that we had an end date with, you know, to cover for her at this point in time. But I'm asking for those 12th to the 17th, and we may meeting when we have exact dates.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Fenn. Is there a second?
Yeah.
Second by Shafrath. Are there any questions, comments, or discussions?
No, just bless people for having babies. It's good for schools.
Absolutely. Hearing no more?
Fenn?
Yes.
Shafrath? DeAngelis?
Yes.
Hershberger?
Yep.
Gullib?
Yes, motion carries. On to item B.
Asking for consideration of 160 Chromebooks from a Trifera in the amount of $46,240. It's a general fund. These are expired computers. They're out of warranty. They won't run current state testing. So we are replacing those, and we have a replacement plan in place. So these are our older computers that we'll be replacing. And devices.
Okay. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Fenn. Is there a second?
Second.
Andrews, are there any questions, comments, or discussion?
No, thank you for saying that they're replacing, because the way it came out at first is that you were buying 60 Chromebooks that have expired, and I'm thinking, why would we do that? So thank you. But we need to replace some of our older ones.
Yeah.
Well, I do believe we probably got our money's worth out of those laptops. How long have they been around?
Some of them have been around a long time. But the thing is, when the companies that have the software update their software, it doesn't update on that device. So it'll be 5 or 6 years old, but it won't update. Mm-hmm. And then you have new state testing or new software that comes out, and it won't run on that device.
Well, I do believe we should give our students the best laptops possible to take their state tests.
Thank you. I like them when they work.
I would be frustrated if my laptop wasn't working during my state test. I would have been frustrated.
We're replacing that one first.
probably is.
Mr. Hershberger didn't have a working computer today, too, that we couldn't get, so it'll be on this thing.
If I could just piggyback a bit of what the superintendent said, we have about 260, 275 that are out of warranty or out of support, and so this is a big push to try and get those covered and reduce the amount of unsupported computers that we have.
So that 160 takes down that 260 down to
that 100. Is correct.
Okay.
Of course, now there'll be some others that will come on to that.
Yeah, just as they expire.
Yeah.
Are there any other questions or discussion?
Do they buy any of those back?
No,
they're just old now.
They're so old they probably have no resale value.
Like that, but they don't run some of the modern pieces. We push them down to Hazel Harvey, the ones that are still usable,
okay,
because they're not doing state to second grade. So the ones that are there like that, Sean will break them down, make sure we clean everything up, and the ones that are still usable, that's what we Hazel Harvey with. So they're still, as long as they're still working and able to run their programs that they have, that's what we do.
Anything else? Hearing none.
Fenn?
Yes.
DeAngelis?
Yes.
Berger?
Yep.
Shafrath?
Yeah.
Golub?
Yes. Motion carries. Up next, we'll move into the superintendent's consent. Under the consent agenda are considered routine and will be enacted under one motion. Mr. Osborne, is there anything you'd like to highlight under the consent agenda?
Yeah, I have a couple things to highlight on this. One, you'll see on there that the school calendar for 24-25 is on there. That'll be posted to the website. And so, you know, occasionally I'll even get any about it, asking why is this a PD day and why is this a day off, but that's fine. But that's posted to the website, and so you have a copy of that. I do work with both unions here in the district with that. I send them out copies. I get feedback from people. I get feedback from the administrators. And, you know, with that, and we take a look at when our state testing is. We also have to look at the high school level, there's AP testing. Also at the high school level, they have College Credit Plus classes, and their semesters don't align with ours. So I'm trying to align with several different people, along with our Career Center, our WCAL school districts, we can. So, you know, through that alignment, we come up with a calendar that we agree upon. The state's forth 184 days. And we go from there and start building the calendar. So it'll be up on the website tonight or tomorrow, whenever I get another updated copy to Sean. But you have that there. So if you have any questions regarding that, please email me right away. And that way I can send the answers out to everybody on those pieces. Those are our College Credit Plus agreements that we have with our colleges. So those would be for the fall year. And we have two. March is a focus on the fine arts in the schools. And so you see two different proposals there. This is where we recognize that it's Music in Our Schools Month for March, and it's Youth Month also in the month of March. Wow, too many M's for me. So Youth Art Month and Music in Our Schools Month. Both take place in March. And lastly, F, we have to join the Ohio High School Athletic Association every year as we get started into tournaments. We keep telling the commissioner, let's just do this in January when everybody else is doing all these membership pieces. But we did receive, that is what F is, and we join that each year, and that is for our middle school and high school athletics.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Finn. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by DeAngelis. Are there any questions, comments, or discussion?
I have a question. Are there any special programs for this during this, you know, our art month and our music month? Are there any, you know, anyone coming in or?
I can't. My principals would probably know. I'll find out for you.
Okay. I just think that's a nice.
Any special items that are doing?
You know, a nice thing to have a program during that month if we're honoring that, those fine arts. And I do appreciate seeing alumni coming back to volunteer for our school district. I think that states a lot for our school district to have alumni come back and volunteer for. I think we're doing something correct. So I appreciate Mr. Lucas coming back.
Yes, I agree. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none.
Ben?
Yes.
DeAngelis?
Yes.
Hirschberger? Shafrath?
Yes.
Gullib?
Yes, motion carries. Up next, we have board discussion. Before we get into our agenda item, I would like to, I received an email from Mr. Osborne earlier in the week that our very own TJ DeAngelis received the 2023 Service Award. As the Service Award is a distinct award and is part of the STAR program at OSBA, which stands for Service Training and Recognition. Of the more than 3,400 board members in Ohio, only 52 will receive the award. Mr. Yates is one of them, so just wanted to congratulate you on that and thank you.
Good job! Woo!
Thank you.
No problem.
Do you get extra pay?
I do not.
Do you get a plaque?
I think I have to get.
Well, we can put that certificate right there.
Well, plaques are nicer than certificates. I always prefer to get a plaque.
Well, congratulations, sir.
Thank you.
We'll move into our board discussion. We have board operations. Mr. Hirschberger requested this.
Committees. Are we still doing committees this year besides the financial committee?
We have a facility committee that does not meet regularly. We meet as facility or issue regarding ideas regarding facilities come up, but it's not a regular scheduled meeting. We address them when we have the issues or something that's coming around with them.
Well, so that I'm on some liaison thing with the city, with the town. We and Linda had, I know she was on the policy committee.
Right, yes.
So we have more than just building committee, but I do the one with the city anymore. So are we changing people on these committees or are we staying the same?
Well, they're the superintendent and treasurer's committee, so they don't need necessarily a board vote. Board mm-hmm. committee would. I personally withdrew myself from the finance committee so that I could spend more time on school and being on the board president. I view the finance committee as more informative, so I worked that out with Mr. Hammond. But my understanding is we keep in committees mostly, like I said, like Mr. Osborne said, they meet on a, almost an as-needed basis a lot of them. Like, is waiting on OSBA to do their, I guess we would say, audit of our policies and guidelines and things of that nature. But
right, which that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to withdraw from that liaison. Okay. With the city.
That's the village's economic.
Yeah.
Economic liaison. Got
so,
it.
Okay. Somebody else can take care of that. Have we discussed Harvey in this building committee?
From the start of the year? No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Numerous times.
Because I haven't heard much talk about it, and I'm just curious what the committee is talking about, Hazel Harvey, and what I would think we would be having some kind of conversation about it.
Our focus went away from when the permanent improvement levy did not pass. Our focus from that permanent improvement went back into our operating levy. And so coming around and having the operating levy pass, we'll come back around to the facility pieces, working on a middle school sale, and also along with looking at an elementary literacy program, which I'll be bringing to the board. But with that, with the softball field closing up, we will move to other areas in that facility that need to be addressed.
So we can look for an update sometime in the next few months then? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying we have a train HVAC update. You've had a softball update. Those have been the facility ones that we've been updating. We have not met to discuss from the previous time when we know that the roof is coming to an end, the life of that building is coming to an end, and the permanent improvement levy passed. No, we have not had an update on Hazel Harvey. There's not much I can update you with.
Okay.
Nothing's changed with the building.
Okay. So Hazel Harvey's in limbo then, I'm assuming. All right. And at OSBA last year, there was a couple things, a couple classes I sat in on I thought were like board self-assessment. We assess Mr. Osborne, Mr. Hamm. I think the board would be well to do their own assessment on themselves. And OSBA has a lot of good information on that. I sent it all out to you. Well, Mr. Osborne and Mr. Golub, and I believe
the board received those materials
we
as
did.
Update.
Yes.
So I would the board to consider, I know you guys probably won't say much because we don't discuss much, but consider, we don't.
I talk all the time. Okay.
Our conversation never goes very well. But anyhow, if we could take a look at board self-assessments. I believe we also need our assessment policy on Mr. Hammond and Mr. Osborne. So if we can look at time, I would appreciate that.
And yes, in fact, the evaluation situation is being addressed now. Mr. Golub and I spoke, and since he gave me the lead on getting some training going, and so we are going to ask for some training from OSBA regarding, you know, the different super evaluations to use, the different ones for treasurers,
right.
And the board can be included in that also. And I think that, you know, it's very important for us to get the same page.
Absolutely.
And have a really wonderful evaluation. The evaluation questions and process has changed over the past 7 years greatly. And so it may not seem like a lot right now, but I know it's come a long way. And we always have more work to do. So
right,
I think that's a great idea to, and yeah. We'll combine that with OSBA.
Yeah, I asked Mr. Sven to be a, with regard to the training that we discussed at
yes.
the January meeting and start those conversations.
Yeah.
We're going to be scheduling that later in March. But
and
the subject matter would be on the superintendent and treasury evaluations. But we can also ask to have some self-assessment. We can start to explore that if we...
I'm setting up things with...
I know you probably just talked to her today, right?
And I'm setting up... I have a meeting Wednesday with Terry Morgan from OSBA to set up the, you know, what we're looking for our training. So I think that'll be helpful.
Okay.
And that is tentatively penciled in for March 22nd. I don't have a date, a time. I have a date. I don't have a place.
Right.
We're just at the beginning of trying to get that scheduled.
Correct.
And last... they talked about student reps down there with school board.
Yes, they
did. You were in there. I know
Jeremy
Mr. Gull was
in there. Yes.
I would like to see us do something like that where we can have students to each board member so we can have feedback from the students. And obviously they wouldn't be a voting member, but they
right.
could sit in with us, tell us what they think, get their feedback. I think it would be nothing but positive as far as a learning experience on government and how this works.
Right. Yes, I joined Golub in that session, and what I came out of it with that session was it seemed, in my perspective, that they were dealing day-to-day operations. They really were not dealing with what I consider board issues, so I don't know if having a student rep on the board is where would be the most beneficial. And I thought maybe doing a superintendent student advisory committee or board where they're funneling information through the channels can come to the board. And I don't know if that could be its own committee. I mean, I don't know, but that was another thought I had about that. I just that they were doing too much of day-to-day operations, which is not what a board does. And I think the more we get everyone to understand board members are not involved in day-to-day operations, the better the system will run. I think that would be helpful for the students to have some place to express their concerns over issues that we get a report about that. So I think that would be something to really look into.
Yeah. A lot of those school districts, so I don't have the numbers next to me, but they're substantially larger than Chippewa too. So it's another thing to consider. Also, just if there's an interest in the student body to even do something like that. I know it's probably an odd one, being one involved in governments in high school. But, you know, I was intrigued by it. I think it's interesting. I think we just need to find something that works for Chippewa and within the parameters of keeping board members out of the day-to-day operations. And I would ask maybe Mr. Osborne raise that at the next administrative team meeting and see what ideas maybe some of our building principals could spit off and just start that process of maybe what if it is something, what it could look like.
Yeah. I meet with student council. I go into meetings, got invited into their meeting and talk to them and get feedback. But no, it's a good idea. I do a 10 to 20 with Todd, and I also have the opportunity to meet with students. I do it at the 7-12 level. Mm. Did you have an age group in mind on some type of committee? Are we talking 7-12, or are we talking a group from each
I'd
building?
I'd say probably 9-12.
I would imagine upperclassmen. Just
I mean, you get some freshmen that are a lot more advanced than others. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mr. Golub is a little bit more advanced than what I would think. So
I was still kind of dumb as a freshman.
Well, nobody said you were full of wisdom now, but
I'm not going to take my life in years right
now.
Oh,
wait a minute. I could talk to some of that.
No. See what happens?
There's a difference between education and wisdom. But
yes, I know.
And maybe that would be something for student council to become more involved with. Is getting the feedback from the students and doing, more of an assessment of, that student council.
Well, and if we had students members, then they would soon learn what the job is as a board member. You could squash your daily operation kind of input as far as that's not what a board does. And I agree, that's not what a board is for,
right.
But that it would be eye-opening for them and could share with their class when they say, hey, how about changing the lunch schedule? Well, that ain't what the board does.
Right.
That ain't what. So that would be enlightening to the whole class.
Yes.
And they could pass it on to their peer group. So it could be a benefit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
I think the more input we get,
the more we could expose them. Better humans.
And it would
be
two ways that they can understand what some of the decisions the board makes,
sure.
Or the principal, because our building principals are the ones who are ultimately responsible for that whole building, and goes along with every decision the board makes or a principal makes. Everyone's not going to agree with it.
Absolutely.
And so maybe to have them know that there's an avenue they can say something would be helpful. I think that's communication.
And that would be a great time to train them how it should be.
Right. What it's supposed to be.
Right.
I think it's a wonderful idea to get more students involved.
Mm-hmm.
If that's going with student council or a committee or, I think it would be a good idea to.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen any student council here.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't believe I've seen any student council here.
Well, I think her point was not necessarily that student council does this now, but that it's just an idea for an avenue which they could start doing some things. And I think that was the request and kind of bouncing off the ideas when we say take it to the administrative team, see what maybe could be doing more. I believe that was your comment.
Yes, okay. You got it.
Are there any more items for discussion? No? More feedback? Okay. Up next, we will move into new business. We have one item upon consideration to approve a change in the purchasing threshold from $10,000 in October 2018 to $20,000 for expenditures requiring board approval. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion second?
Yeah.
Second by Shafrath. I'm going to kick off discussion. It's a 2018 motion. I was a sophomore in high school. And so I'm going to ask actually Mr. DeAngelis and Mrs. Fan if you'd like to hop in, just kind of explain the rationale behind the 2018 motion and the subsequent rationale behind this motion.
I believe I was the one that requested the increase, and this was on my list actually last year, and I believe, as we call, a couple special board meetings to approve something that was $12,000 or something along those lines. And if you look at it, we already get the information. Ira communicates things well, Todd communicates things well, and I didn't see any reason why we should have a board meeting related to that.
And the 10,000 limit, that's a new item for this district. Mm-hmm. And created in 2018 because there were some concerns with the financial information the board was receiving at that time. Different board, different treasurer.
And different so superintendent.
And a different superintendent, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I guess we're the old folks. So
Don't call him old from, you know, come on.
So he was a concern with what was going on, and there were some purchases being made that were quite unique. So the board felt at that time, in order to get a little bit more closure on items, we needed to set that limit. And now that things have changed, I think that's part of progress, is to say, hey, we're in a different place now. Let's up that. And this is totally different from the amount of money that the school has to do with going bid. These are two separate issues.
Yes, and the for these type of items is
$50,000.
So we're still
yes.
well below the threshold.
Yes,
anyways.
We are.
And Mr. Osborne, Mr. Hammond, either of you can answer this. You say that around $20,000 is about fair market practice for in terms of other districts in our area, in terms of board approval for these items, or?
Go ahead. She did the homework.
Well, I asked both.
No.
what I can tell you, and I'm going to go big spectrum. So Fremont, $25,000 was the board wanted to know. I can tell you there is a local district that the only thing that they want coming to the board is those items that have terms and conditions attached to it. And the rationale for that is because you approve appropriations as a board, giving us set limits mm-hmm. to work within. And so my, excuse me, is those contracts that have terms and conditions on them, they're not even seeing that. I could purchase $100,000 in Chromebooks because I'm paying for it. I have it within the scope of my appropriations for the year. It's not a contract or terms and conditions involved. And you as a board, the only way you would see it is if you were looking at the monthly financial report and you went through the check register.
Yeah, and all these purchases, $20,000 below, they still appear on a check register.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah. And I think even the $20,000 is a little low from what, if my memory served me correctly when we looked at this, or I looked at this last year. So I
think from my perspective, and I think I stated this to Mr. Gulb and to Mr. Osborne, if you're looking at recommendation, I can't. Because if I said change the level to $50,000, well, I'm not a disinterested party because I've got my hands in the till every day. And so for me to make a recommendation, it could very well be self-serving. So you as a board have to make a decision as to what you as a board are comfortable with.
Do we even need this?
There are certain reasons why you need it, but
okay.
I mean, a $10,000 increase, I think, is very reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd ask that question.
Mm-hmm. No, I think comfortable if it, on my end, if we could raise it even more if we still felt like we were facing some of the same issues, but I think it's
correct.
Reasonable now. We can always go back to it. I can lower it back down to $10,000 if we thought there's a problem, but I don't see any foresee any issues like that. We're going.
Baby steps are not a bad thing.
Yes. I totally appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any more questions, comments?
The only thing that concerns me is wants versus needs. I mean, because we can blow $20,000 on something we don't really need, but we want it. And we can throw a educational piece on it every day to get it to pass, but I mean, I get it. But well, I get it. That's my concern.
Okay. Anything else?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Hammond?
Ben?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yeah.
DeAngelis?
Yes.
Hershberger?
Yep.
Golub?
Yes, motion carries. Okay, next executive session. We have three purposes listed for executive session, A2, B, and D. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Fenn. Is there a second?
Yeah.
Second by Shafrath. Are there any questions, comments, discussion? Hearing none.
Fenn?
Yes.
Shafrath?
Yeah.
DeAngelis?
Yes.
Burr?
Yep.
Golub?
Yes, motion carries. I have dead end at 7 o'clock, and we do not anticipate taking any executive session.
No. Thank you all for coming, and please, principals, share with your families that we appreciate them coming out with their students. It is such a joy to see them. And this is all we have. So thank you.